Welcome to episode 18 of Unraveling Karma. My name is Tom Jacobs. Unraveling Karma is an evolutionary astrology podcast to help you deepen self-understanding and make changes for the better. I'm an evolutionary astrologer and medium and channel in Tucson, Arizona. You can find me on the web at www.tdjacobs.com. And Tucson right now is either a giant kiln or a giant convection oven. So I kind of had to wait till the sun went down just to be able to think straight enough to do the podcast. I have air conditioning, but it doesn't seem to matter. It makes everything slow down, including me and my brain and my mind. So for episode 18, I have two listener charts for you. The first one is Robin Blue. Her birth data are November 3rd, 1955, that's 1955. The time is 2:17 p.m. and the city is Marshall, Minnesota. And Robin wrote in with a few questions and basically said, you know, take your pick. The questions she wrote in with are all actually fabulous, and they all deserve an entire podcast. So I wrote them all out, and I'm just going to kind of flow with it. The first question is, she says, the last couple of years have been very frustrating. She asks me if her chart shows some kind of hold or wait status. And the first thing that jumps out at me when I look at this, look at your chart, Robin, is that transiting Saturn has been in your seventh house for more than a couple of years. And you have Pluto not far above the horizon in the seventh, conjunct Jupiter. So again, you know, as you've been listening to the podcast, you know that Pluto in my universe represents simultaneously the deepest intentions and desires of the soul, as well as the wounding of the soul. All these things wrapped up together that essentially describe the arc of our empowerment journey. So whatever might be unprocessed in you about feeling empowered as a person because of Jupiter, Pluto in the seventh, and we'll talk about that in a second, or I will. When Saturn starts transiting it, when it hits, you know, when it hits your descendant about 25 Leo a few years ago, it's going to ask you to do something about all of those fears and issues. What one of the things that this tells me is that karmically, just the natal setup here, karmically, you have taken risks represented by Jupiter in expressing yourself to other people, Leo and the seventh house. And so in some of your soul's lives, and as you've gathered by now from listening to the podcast, I don't really talk about past lives anymore because of my experiences that led to the writing of The Soul's Journey 1, that book. I understand that all of our lives are happening simultaneously from the soul's perspective, and everything I do is about connecting you to soul. So I can't talk about past lives, but some of your other lives that your soul is exploring the possibilities and opportunities of being human, in those lives you take risks in trusting people, you take risks in showing people who you are, you know, you bring your creative ideas, and whether that's traditionally, you know, things that are traditionally seen or typically understood as creativity, doesn't matter. You bring your creative self to people because your soul is saying, with Pluto in the seventh, I'm going to learn about empowerment. I'm going to learn this human journey through learning what it takes to create fairness and harmony. Now, on all of these Pluto journeys that we can be on, you know, regardless of sign and house, we always encounter situations and others who seem more powerful than us because we're living in duality. We always manifest situations and circumstances in which we are strong and which we are not as strong as some other people. So what I'm really getting at is these are some trust issues. So when Saturn is transiting the seventh house, the way forward, you know, the way through difficult situations, you know, including or that will require us to work hard, roll up our sleeves, get realistic. This is all about working with other people. And this is where your Pluto is. So I would expect that some of the answers for you, where you kind of know, you're kind of intuiting and feeling into things. Where should I go? What can I do? What's next? The answer with Saturn transiting your seventh has had to do with working with other people, taking your stuff, taking your ideas, taking yourself to other people. But because of the karmic history of having risked what seems like too much, you might not have wanted to do it. So that's the first answer. The other thing is that for over the last year, progressed moon has been in your fourth house going through Gemini. Now, your natal moon is at 0 degree Cancer. So essentially, you're coming up to your second progressed lunar return. And as the progressed moon hits the fourth house, the evolving priority of the moment, right? The evolving ways that we make ourselves happy and that we explore taking care of ourselves is going to be focused on the fourth house where your moon is natally. This period of this progression, when the progressed moon is in the fourth house, is about foundation. So even if your natal moon were not there, this last year plus has been for being quiet, for looking inward. For I was, this image comes up when I work with the fourth house of our inner, psychic or inner emotional basement. So if we are, if our psyche is a house, the fourth house is the basement. And so we have to be a little more quiet, a little more still, so we can feel what's going on. So because your progress, I'm sorry, because your natal moon is there already, this is, the ending of 27 to 28 year cycle. So that means that you're in the 12th pie slice of that second cycle, right? Whenever we're just about to have a return of something, any body, any of the bodies in the chart, we have this 12th portion of it, which is for letting things go, correlate it to kind of the 12th house and surrender and letting things go. So you have been asked to go down into your psychic, psychic emotional basement and take an inventory of what it does and doesn't belong in your foundation going forward. What is in there? What is in your history? What is in how you care for yourself? What is in how your home is set up? Your relationships with your family and your friends who are family. What is it about all those things or any of those things that doesn't work? That doesn't support your evolution, that doesn't make you happy. And get rid of those. And so that is another thing that can come out as feeling like things are on hold because you're supposed to be down, you're not having picnics in the backyard of this house. You're not painting the living room. You're in the basement rooting through boxes of old stuff. So that's another kind of indication of what might be on hold or you feeling that you have a wait status. So the strategy that I'd advise is to go down, be willing to go down into the basement, process old memories, process old habit patterns. Look at your relationships and your family history and who you are because of the people and the places that you come from, and learn to do some weeding and editing and learn to change your mind about certain things and learn to process any lingering things from the past that are very difficult, and you'll be able to make really good use of this time where, perhaps you are getting the message to be on hold. So that's that progression. And moving on to the second question, I'm going to do this one quick and try to fit in a third. You mentioned, this isn't even one of your questions, but you mentioned that you've lived with much deception in your life, and you wondered if it was a particular symbol, and I don't have your email in front of me, but what I want to tell you is that that is really having to do with this Jupiter-Pluto in the seventh, where you're wondering how much you can trust people. And also with the South Node ruler, which is Mercury, because you have a Gemini South Node, it's in Libra in the eighth house, conjunct Neptune. this is a karmic issue for you. This is this the, not only with the Pluto. I mean, it's about the Pluto, but I really want to emphasize how the South Node ruler conjunct Neptune in the eighth house in Libra is going to have incurred in various lives, because this Mercury represents your role in your various lives in my universe. Always the South Node ruler represents our role in our various environments, which is represented by the South Node. And so you are showing up as somebody who is committed to Neptune. Now, as with any Neptune issue, and then in Libra in the eighth house, so you're looking, you're aware of what's happening with other people, you're trying to bond with them, you're very sensitive to energy, this kind of eighth house Neptune picking things up for people. You know, you're also able to articulate things that are happening in other people's kind of unconscious and subconscious. So, but the big thing about this to tell you about right now regarding deception is you come in wired to carry Neptune energy, and Neptune energy is simultaneously illusion and truth. It's simultaneously truth and deception, honesty and deception. So the way out of this is to pick and choose how you live Neptune. So for example, every time you encounter deception in someone else, you choose to stay focused on what you know is truth. Not what you think is truth, not what you heard was truth, not what somebody is telling you is truth, right? Not what you thought in the past might have been true, but you focus on that Neptunian direct connection to some higher truth. No matter what anyone tells you, you focus on what is actually the truth, and you actually will be able to change some of the karma that this represents. You know, I define karma as, on one level, beliefs that we carry about what our experiences mean. So, every time someone lies to you, every time someone tries to deceive you, you actually have an incredible radar set up within your psyche. And so my advice to you is to fine-tune it, commit it, you know, tape the knob in place, and no matter what's happening around you, stay focused on the real truth of what's happening. That's an antidote to deception. Because and on one level, well, let's just say it this way. In some lives, in some of your soul's lives, being wired for Neptune can draw other people's negative Neptune if you're not choosing healthy versions of it. So, regardless of what's happened in the past, like I'll just tell you that you have been manifesting deception means that in some lives you're probably also involved with deception in various levels. You're probably, in some cases, you're going to be willing to take it from other people. In some cases, you're going to find it necessary to deceive others for some reason or other, and I don't have any judgment about that, and I invite you not to have any judgment. This is just part of the human learning experience. You know, we can all think of cases where we tell white lies or we don't tell the full truth. But for you, karmically, that's actually a serious issue. So let go of the judgment about it and commit to being truthful no matter what happens. And yeah, the way I said that makes me, you know, makes it sound like I'm calling you a liar or something. But it's really that you've been willing to experience some negative Neptune and Libra in the eighth conjunct this Mercury. And so I'm just inviting you to no longer be willing to experience that. But a giant part of that process is not being mad at other people for lying. And that's going to be that for any of us, that would be a giant healing challenge. But that's part of releasing your karma. What does it mean? You know, because we all get hurt. We are hurt when we are lied to. Often, even more so when we find out years later or weeks later that we were lied to. So be committed to truth, being committed to no matter what, always getting that satellite dish of Mercury, Neptune in the eighth, oriented towards where you want it to be, towards a high expression of Neptune. And you'll be able to release those judgments and no longer need to manifest, you know, this negative Neptune Mercury, which comes out as deception. And then I actually took more time on that than I wanted, but it felt really important. the flow was there, so it was needed. Let me just mention these yods momentarily. A yod, also known as the finger of God, and it can feel as though, I have one, and it feels as though, the finger of some marble enthroned, bearded, old white guy is pointing at you, saying, "This is your mission." You don't even have a choice to accept it. So it's just what part of you feels you have to do. And there can be kind of a compulsion to it that's a little different than Pluto. With Pluto, we do have a soul mission, a soul's mission, but we tend to go through periods of skirting the mission in order to avoid repeating our karmic fears. But with yods, it's just pressure. So you have one with the finger is the moon. There's a sextile between, Venus, Juno, Venus at 27 Scorpio and Juno at 0 Sagittarius. Actually, true black moon Lilith at 1 Sagittarius is in there. And that's sextile Chiron and Aquarius in the 12th. And then they are each in conjunct, or both in conjunct, this moon. So it's pressure. It's pointing, this giant divine finger seemingly pointing at your moon. When I see yods that involve that point at the moon, there's an emphasis on feeling. There's an emphasis on emotional expression. I wouldn't be surprised if at some points in your life, especially when you're a kid, like pre-adolescent, you are other people are telling you that you need to learn to manage your emotions and kind of how it doesn't fit in the social scheme, which would be school, but also home and family and expression. At the dinner table that might be seen as, outbursts of some kind. And I wouldn't be surprised if you were just, at points in your life, at times in your life, prone to a lot of sudden emotional expression because of all this pressure on your moon. And the other yod is a sextile between moon and Pluto Jupiter that points at Chiron. So the other element of pressure being pointed at you, at a body in your chart is with this Chiron. Now, Chiron in Aquarius in the 12th, we talk about Chiron as wounded and wounded healer and et cetera. And I go a lot further with it. That's actually reflected in the 2012 natal report that I offer through my site, which is all about emotional healing. Because when I asked my guides and ascended masters what is going to happen with 2012, I was given information on how to help people heal their Chirons. And so it was just these repeated sessions of bringing through information about healing Chiron emotional stuff. The real story with Chiron is not that he inadvertently, wounded his foot with a poisoned arrow and couldn't die and then had to figure out how to die. That's the second wound. That's the second wound. The first wound is his immediate rejection at birth by his mother, because she was not expecting a centaur, and he was born half horse, half human. So we have this rejection. Chiron in the 12th, I see all the time as a wounding that has to do with spiritual energy, but specifically with spiritual connection. So lots of times people with Chiron in the 12th, when they're little kids, they'll have visits by spirits, visits by angels, by dead people, by all this stuff, and there's some kind of abandonment by whomever is visiting. Sometimes it's just a wounding to feeling connected to God. Like I worked with one woman with Chiron in the 12th who had been adopted, who had been given up right at birth. And, I'm working with her. She's probably in her late 50s. And she was acutely feeling that wound from infancy, that lack of connection, because it wasn't just mom. It was the whole universe rejecting her. So there's a wound to the spiritual connectedness. So that this yod is pointing at that. Well, the other side of this is a sensitivity, a very deep or very a Well, I want to use sensitive as an adjective, and that's why I'm having an issue. But basically, this antenna of sensitivity, this Chiron in the 12th for spiritual energy. And if you can heal whatever it is that makes you feel disconnected from spirit, then you have the capacity to obviously help other people, because that's part of the Chiron story, help other people who have a wound of disconnection from higher truth. So that's kind of the basic ideas of these two yods. But look at that. Moon and Chiron are involved in each yod. And so there's a special special emphasis on that relationship within you of who you are on the inside and what you need to make yourself happy, this Moon in Cancer in the 4th, and this in conjunct with Chiron and Aquarius in the 12th, which is this disconnection from greater reality. So hopefully that's some food for thought. Thank you for sending in your question. The second listener question comes from Hannah in Copenhagen, Denmark, and Hannah's birth data are March 9th, 1949. The time is 8:08 a.m., and the city's Copenhagen, Denmark. So Hannah asks about a stroke she had a little over a year ago, February 2009. Basically, when it was done, she had felt that, and this is a quote from her, that there was a rebirth of the same soul in the same body. It sounds like Hannah feels more connected to intuitive abilities as well since the stroke, and she mentioned that she's grateful for what it has taught her, what it has brought her, and that she's recovering well. So let's talk about this. Hannah, the first thing is that I see the South Node ruler Venus. Your South Node's in Libra in the 6th house. And the South Node ruler Venus is in Pisces in the 12th house. And in my little universe, the South Node ruler represents a person's roles in various lives, as you'll have heard earlier in this podcast and in other episodes. So I look at the South Node as the environments we're coming from and the conditioning we receive from the world around us. And the South Node ruler as our role, how we show up, what special skills do we have, what are we interested in. And so for you, this is in Pisces in the 12th. So you're showing up again and again and again as, living this Pisces in the 12th energy, but you're opposed by retrograde Saturn in Virgo in the 5th house, and you, Venus, are squared by Chiron and Sagittarius in the 7th house. So I want to talk about each of these things because this karmic setup has a lot to do with the question that you were asked that took the form of that health situation. Now you have answered the question. I'll get to that. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself because it's a great question and a great story to tell here with your chart. So Venus and Pisces in the 12th, traditionally, we might look at that and say, then Hannah shows up in her various lives. She's very interested in meditation or art or, getting lost in nature or lost in creativity. But you're opposed by Saturn in Virgo. And so that means that you are repeatedly opposed by Saturnian figures who are very specific and very practical. Now, your South Node is in the 6th house, and so you have a lot of conditioning about practicality, this kind of Virgo energy, this, getting things done and being specific and making choices and being of service, but how I feel kind of in your story, it's being useful. And so you show up again and again as Pisces in the 12th house energy, being challenged and confronted by Saturnian authority figures who are very specific, and we talk about Saturn in the 5th house opposing us. It's very strong, powerful, creative Leonine type people. So you're being opposed by that. So you, as this Pisces 12th house person, are going to edit yourself to make sure that you fit in with the agenda of these Saturnian people who are opposing you. Now, of course, think about when you were a kid and the kind of daydreams you had. and how people in your family and your school and your community worked very hard to help you be productive. And so just think about that energy, that kind of 12th house energy of being lost and daydreamy and in the fog, you know, of things that can provide inspiration. That's kind of how you're naturally wired, but you have accepted a lot of conditioning about practicality and usefulness with this South Node in the 6th house and the Saturn in Virgo opposing you in your various lives. So that's the first part of this. The second part is with Chiron in Sagittarius in the 7th, squaring your role. What that tells me is squares for me are friction. So you, in various lives, are receiving friction from wounded others. One way that this comes out is that other people need things from you that end up taking you off your 12th house course. When we're around other people who need things, let's say we're around sick people. Let's say that you know, you're born into a family with elderly grandparents who live in the home, you know, or you have a sibling or a parent who is in some way disabled. That is a Chiron in the 7th squaring us, because your natural wiring, Pisces 12th house, because that's where the South Node ruler is, you're going to want to daydream. You're going to want to get lost. You're going to want to be lost in fancy. But this Chiron squaring, it says that what other people need takes you off your 12th house course. So, not that you would have had to have, you know, a serious health issue to get your attention about this whole issue, but, you know, that's how it happened. That's how it came out. Lots of times we hear the call, you know, to change something or to get back to something or to reintegrate something. And if we don't listen, then things get more serious. This happens all the time for us. And one of the focuses that I do with karmic astrology is looking at health issues and how and why we manifest the health issues that we do, so that I can teach people how to pick up on their own internal signals of what the questions are that the universe is asking them, so that they don't have to manifest these difficult health situations nearly as much. And so that's one of the focuses that I have. So I can tell you with confidence that you would have received nudgings, you know, invitations and suspicions that it's time for you to inhabit more of your 12th house nature. Because that's what this is really about. This is really saying, will you let go of some of your conditioning that you're not supposed to do Pisces in the 12th house. Now, I know from your email that you are a singer, but you're also a scientist and an astrologer. And so you have that creative side that, you know, that you admit and you use and you feed, but that kind of spiritual, metaphysical, creative side of you, this 12th house part, because look, your Sun and Mars are also there, as well as your North Node, by the way. But so for you to inhabit this 12th house self more, you know, this event came along. And you mentioned, you know, an increase in your intuitive abilities. What I think is really... what has really happened is that you have become more willing to allow those things in. When someone is dealing with the karma of being opposed by Saturn in Virgo and also having a South Node in the 6th house, that usefulness and practicality, you know, productiveness, everything should be useful, can take over. And if, you know, if we can't figure out how to make our art useful, some part of us will, in the face of those kinds of energies, will want to edit that creativity a little. So this invitation for you at this part in your life is to embrace this part of yourself, to live in the 12th house in a new way. You know, your phrasing was the rebirth of the same soul in the same body. This is the 12th house rebirth. And, you know, it's kind of like, who do you think you are? You know, what level of 12th house energy will you embody and will you inhabit? And every, you know, deepening into the 12th house that you could imagine is going to help you heal karma of being told you're supposed to be productive. And I think that's really what the issue is. And so now your vantage point has changed. Now you can see that it is useful. It is even more useful, and you're, and you know, tapping in with your intuitive abilities. I think you mentioned doing some mediumship work as well. You know, there is a great use for that on the planet at this time. Now, because you have this background as a scientist, you understand how most people think, which is that being spending most of our time in our heads. So you already understand this. So adding this new layer of 12th house understanding does indicate that you have, at the soul level, asked to be a part of the transition that's happening here. So you can use all of these skills, you can use all of this, but you really have to come at it from this place of surrender that you have found as you've been recovering from the stroke, and getting that wider view and that more bird's eye view of life and how things are working here. So many people need guidance and support in coming to trust 12th house energy. You know, this idea that humans need, I believe we need to connect to something greater than ourselves. We need, that's the only way we can find meaning, is to become a part of something outside of ourselves. And that happens in the 12th house. So that's my answer for you. Thank you so much for writing. And I'm glad to hear that your recovery is going very well, and that you are, you have found what it is to be grateful for this experience, because that's a very important way to, or very important way to heal whenever we have any health issue, is to understand why it's happening and to be grateful for that reason. So thanks again for writing. A couple of promotional things for everybody. If you happen to be in Tucson, I'm starting an 8-week intuitive skills development course that I call Seeing Through Spiritual Eyes. And that's in Tucson. That runs 8 weeks. And if you are in Tucson or you know anybody in Tucson, send them to my site to get the info on it, because it's a fantastic healing and empowering journey. What we do is we go through the chakras one per week, and then we have an extra week, and we catalog what each person in the room, each student, has to work with historically in the form of emotional or karmic baggage. And then I teach skills and tools over the 8 weeks to help people deal with any such situation. So it's very healing, very empowering, and it's really an investment in yourself going forward. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. And for those of you to whom that sounds interesting and can't be in Tucson, I also offer intuitive coaching, which serves the same purpose. And I essentially teach you to see your life in the same way that I do, which is the way that your spirit guides and your higher self and your soul see your life. So check out my website if you're interested in that. And articles, natal reports, books, tons of stuff at the site that you'll love. And thanks again for listening. This has been episode 18 of Unraveling Karma. My name is Tom Jacobs, and the website is www.tdjacobs.com. Bye-bye.